My name is Henry Bergley, and I've had the honor of working at Princeton University with these amazing researchers on bamboozling certificate authorities with BGP, or the Border Gateway Protocol. So I want to start by motivating this problem. Let's say that I want to connect to the credit card payment processing company Vantiv at their website, vantiv.com. However, I'm on someone else's network, and I potentially don't trust this network. How do I know that I'm actually getting a server at vantiv.com? Well, pretty much the current system in place for this is that vantiv.com will present me with a certificate containing their public key that I'll later use to encrypt my data with them. And I'm going to trust this certificate only if it's signed by a trusted certificate authority that my browser knows to trust. So in this case, that certificate authority is NTrust right down here. And because my browser has NTrust installed as a trusted certificate authority, it knows to trust this certificate for vantiv.com. And in this nature, certificate authorities are really a root of trust for all internet encryption. And this is what ensures that on a first-time connection, that you actually know you're getting the proper site. So you've never actually exchanged key data with this site previously. However, what I want to talk about in this attack is how vulnerabilities in BGP undermine this trust that we've placed in certificate authorities. So with that in mind, I want to look at the process that certificate authorities actually use to sign certificates. So let's say that I control the domain example.com, and I'd like to get a certificate for my domain. So I'm going to start by selecting a certificate authority and approaching them with a certificate signing request containing the domain I want a certificate for. And they're not going to sign the request immediately. Instead, they're going to get back to me with a challenge which demonstrates that I actually control example.com. And presuming that I am the site administrator for example.com, I can simply modify my servers to upload the content. So these challenges normally consist of putting a certain piece of content at a certain URL on the domain. So once I modify my servers, the certificate authority can simply go and check for this content, and presuming that it gets the proper response, it will sign my certificate. But we need to consider that an adversary can come into this process simply by observing this request for the content. So if an adversary, say, uses BGP to hear this request for the content, the adversary's server can simply generate the proper response even though the content doesn't actually exist at example.com. And in this manner, an adversary can get a certificate for a domain that it doesn't control. So with this in mind, I kind of want to switch gears a little bit to networking and looking at BGP, or the Border Gateway Protocol. BGP is the protocol by which autonomous systems, or ASs, exchange routes with each other. So each circle here is an AS, and you can think of an AS as an ISP, or sometimes large content providers are also ASs, and BGP is the routing protocol by which they talk to each other and agree on who has which IP prefix. So under normal operating procedure, kind of example.com, let's say it's run out of this IP prefix 222/23. Example.com's AS is going to announce that prefix, and once the routing protocol converges, all internet traffic is going to be sent to that AS for example.com. However, the simplest attack an adversary can launch in BGP is simply announcing a subprefix or a more specific prefix. So this is a prefix with a longer prefix mask, 24 bits instead of 23 bits. It contains fewer IP addresses, but it's more specific, and because of longest prefix match routing, all ASs on the internet will prefer this more specific route for getting to example.com. So here, the adversary gets all of example.com's traffic, and this includes the GET request to check the verification document from the certificate authority. However, really the catch with this attack is that all routers are going to prefer this announcement, and this announcement is going to be globally visible. And as a result, it's really not very stealthy, because example.com is going to notice a global connectivity outage the moment this happens. So with this in mind, a sort of more stealthy variant was presented at Black Hat in 2015. And first, notice that I moved the certificate authority a little bit closer to the adversary, and you'll see why in a moment. If the adversary is to announce the same prefix as the victim, so 222/23 again, in a way, these two announcements sort of compete for internet traffic. And you can think of the internet actually being partitioned into two parts. An unaffected portion, which is going to continue to use its old route, for example, .com. And interestingly, some ASs in that portion of the internet will actually not even hear the adversary's malicious announcement. And then a hijacked portion, where traffic is going to the adversary. And so clearly, if the certificate authority is in this hijacked portion, then the GET request goes to the adversary and we can get a bogus certificate the same way we did before. However, kind of with this attack, we're still looking at causing a connectivity outage. Now it's been localized this time, and it's definitely more stealthy because not everyone hears it, but we're still looking at breaking example.com's connectivity in this region. So with that in mind, I kind of want to talk about a third attack, and this is known as AS. And also, sorry, going back, as I mentioned with the certificate authority, if we move it back to where it was before, this adversary can't actually launch this attack because the certificate authority is in the unaffected portion of the internet. So not all ASs can perform those equally specific prefix attacks. So that sort of brings us to a third attack. And here, an adversary is going to go back to announcing a subprefix. But instead of announcing that it owns this subprefix, it's simply going to claim reachability to this subprefix through its legitimate route to the victim. So this adversary would normally get to example.com through AS4. So it's going to claim that it can reach example.com at this /24 prefix going through AS4 as well. And what happens in this case is that AS4 doesn't want to import a route that's going to cause a loop. So in order to prevent loops in routing, loop detection at AS4 is just going to drop this route. And AS4 is going to continue to use its old route for the /23 prefix to get to example.com. So routing is effectively unaffected in AS4. But all the other ASs on the internet will see this as a subprefix, and they'll prefer it as their route to example.com. And in this manner, we've actually preserved connectivity to example.com, because the adversary now can simply forward these incoming packets out along its legitimate route to get to example.com. And also, because this attack is global, almost any AS anywhere in the internet can perform it as long as it's multi-homed, so it has one provider to receive traffic and one to forward traffic. And this is very stealthy at the data plane because you won't notice any connectivity effect at example.com. The other neat thing about this attack is that if you imagine once an adversary gets a bogus certificate, this is exactly the network position that they want to be in to begin intercepting traffic with that certificate. So with this in mind, we kind of went out and we wanted to actually launch these attacks in the wild on the real internet. And we did this in a completely ethical manner. So we had prefix allocated to us from the peering testbed, and we ran domains on those prefixes that belonged to us, and these domains had no actual users. And then we went and we hijacked these prefixes from other nodes, and then we requested certificates for our domains once we had hijacked our own prefixes. And we approached top trusted CAs, so it's real valid certificates just for domains that don't have any users. And I just want to show a quick video demonstration of one of these attacks. So this is the interception attack with path poisoning. So here we have an innocuous client up here that's contacting the web server, and it's HTTPS, so it's fully secured with the lock at, I think, d.ct2gt.tk, and it's constantly sending HTTPS AJAX calls home to its web server. So notice that everything about this client is encrypted and secured with HTTPS. Over here, this is a terminal on the victim's server, and in just one moment, I'm going to start up a packet trace on that. And what you'll see is that all of these AJAX calls, you can see them coming in on the packet trace. Okay, so the AJAX calls, as they're being sent there, are seen on the packet trace over here. And now we're going to go down to the adversary's servers on red down here, and we're going to start a packet trace for the adversary as well. And now notice that the adversary hasn't made any BGP announcements yet. So this is just a dry, empty packet trace that's not seeing anything. And the last thing that the adversary would do before it would launch one of these attacks is it would approach Let's Encrypt, which is the certificate authority we're going to use for this bogus certificate here. And we're going to request a certificate for the domain. And once we agree to the IP logging, this is the challenge that we actually have to upload to our server. So in preparation, kind of the adversary can put this challenge on their web server. And once this has been put up, all the adversary needs to do is make the BGP announcement required to intercept traffic. And by the way, I should also notice that the adversary's route table has an entry to forward all traffic through to the victim. Like you can see here, this is the traffic going through the adversary now and then being forwarded onward to the victim. And each packet in that log is doubled up, once from the way in and then once from the way out. But there's a rule that traffic from Let's Encrypt is going to be answered instead of forwarded. So this way the document that the adversary put on its web server will take effect. So all that adversary has to do is hit enter, and now the request from Let's Encrypt will go through, and it will be answered by the adversary instead of the victim. And notice that the whole time there's been no change in the packet log from the victim's perspective. So this traffic is all happening as normal, and the victim can't detect the attack at this point. So now the adversary can simply use a certificate to start intercepting traffic, and as soon as the adversary puts the certificate up, all of these AJAX calls that were previously going through to the victim are now being answered by the bogus HTTPS certificate running on the adversary's server. And also do notice that with the current state of browsers right now, the browsers don't throw any warnings if they notice a public key change on this certificate like this. And if we reload the page up here, we get a completely adversarial copy. So we're no longer going through to the victim. As you can see, now that packets have dried up over there, and everything's being answered by the adversary. So we approached several top certificate authorities, and we pretty much found across the board the same results, that they're all vulnerable. And all of these certificate authorities, particularly, they sign certificates very quickly, and there's no direct human interaction. So you do not need to be a human to request these certificates. And we also want to mention very importantly that there's actually a lot more targets than just the domain servers for these attacks. So an adversary can target a domain's email servers because some of the certificate authorities perform the verification with email, or the domain's authoritative DNS servers. And another neat variant is that you actually don't have to hear traffic going from the certificate authority to the CA. You can only hear return traffic. So in this case, an adversary can attack a certificate authority's prefix and then simply modify the return traffic coming from the server to get a bogus certificate as well. So with this in mind, we really wanted to quantify the vulnerability of domains out there today. And we really wanted to answer how many domains are vulnerable to this and how many adversaries can actually launch these attacks. And to do that, we looked back at certificate transparency. We scraped a data set of 1.8 million certificates. And for each certificate, we took the common name in the certificate and resolved it to an IP address. And then we looked back at historical routing data to find out information about the routes that certificate authorities actually use to validate these IPs. And what we found is that with respect to subprefix attacks, if your domain is running on a /24, so a 24-bit prefix match, you are in a sense immune to subprefix attacks because ASs tend to filter BGP announcements longer than /24. So if the adversary was to announce a /25, it would be mostly filtered. So domains running on /24 can't be subprefix attacked. And that is definitely a plurality, but it turns out that the vast majority of domains are running on less than /24, making them vulnerable to subprefix attacks. Also, we wanted to look at equally specific prefix attacks. So to do this, it's not as much about the domains, but how likely is it that an adversary can actually launch one of these attacks? So clearly in this diagram, the certificate authority is being affected by the adversary. And in this version, the certificate authority is now in the unaffected portion. So this adversary can't actually launch this attack. And resilience can be thought of as the probability that this certificate authority will be resilient to an adversary's attack. So it's sort of the inverse of the viability likelihood of the attack. We looked at the domains in our data set, assuming that you chose a random certificate authority, and we took a CDF of the resilience of the domains. So to get a median or 50th percentile cut, we found the resilience to be 0.57, and that means still that there's a 43% chance that these attacks would be viable. However, this should be complicated with the fact that there are actually about 100 commercial certificate authorities, and anyone can sign a certificate for any domain. So given that, an adversary can simply choose a certificate authority that's in its affected part of the internet. And to take this into account, we developed this notion of effective resilience. So this is kind of, what's the resilience? How likely is this attack going to work, given an adversary can now choose a CA? And this caused the resilience to drop, the median resilience, to drop from 0.57 to 0.25. So now there's a 75% likelihood that an adversary would be able to launch an equally specific prefix attack. And so clearly, the status quo is really not that good. And we propose countermeasures. So the first and sort of simplest is this idea of certificate authorities having multiple vantage points to protect them from localized attacks. So while this certificate authority is being affected, you could imagine if the certificate authority had a vantage point, somewhat like the perspectives work in this part of the internet, this vantage point would still go through to the proper server and realize that an attack is going on. And by comparing the results from these remote vantage points, certificate authorities can detect localized attacks and not sign certificates in those cases. And Let's Encrypt has actually deployed this in their staging environment. Our work's been a key factor for that. They're working on a full deployment, and in this slide you can see their remote vantage points contacting the server for the verification document as well as their original data center. And just to quantify how much of an improvement this makes to equally specific prefix attacks, if you take a median, this is just from Let's Encrypt's perspective, the resilience of domains would improve from 0.6 to 0.95 with simply a single optimally located vantage point to help them out. There also are other defenses. Clearly, multiple vantage points does not help if the attack is global, like the one I showed in the video. And so for that, we recommend certificate authorities also perform BGP monitoring, and we have a lot about a BGP monitoring framework in our paper. And then to protect against the reverse attacks I mentioned earlier, certificate authorities have to be run out of secure IP prefixes as well. And for that, we recommend running out of a /24 prefix length and running out of a prefix with a relatively high resilience to attacks. Fortunately, as of recently, there are ways that domains can secure themselves. This is particularly with CAA DNS records or certificate authority authorization records. These records indicate which certificate authorities can sign certificates for that domain, and right there, that takes away the choice of CA issue we talked about, and they can also forbid signing altogether, which prevents these attacks. But the catch is that if you have CAA records, you have to secure them with DNSSEC, because otherwise the adversary will simply choose to target your authoritative DNS server instead of your domain, and if they hijack your DNS server, they can spoof the responses for the CAA records. And so in terms of takeaways, I just wanted to say that this is the cryptocurrency website, MyEther Wallet. MyEther Wallet was unfortunately the victim of a BGP attack. However, users were alerted to this attack because when they visited MyEther Wallet, they were presented with this fake certificate. And most users hopefully did not continue on to the site. And I just want to end by saying that next BGP attack we see against a cryptocurrency website or a bank, that might actually be a real certificate, and we might not have that tool to help alert us to an attack. And so remember that CAs are the root of trust on the internet, yet the majority of domains are vulnerable to this attack. So I really hope that the CA industry will implement countermeasures soon. And secure routing, on sort of a second, an off topic, is still important even with end-to-end encryption. So I want to say thank you to the audience, and are there any questions?
Hi, really great work. Just one question in terms of your list of countermeasures. Did you consider encrypted and authenticated DNS, say DNS over TLS, as one of the mitigations rather than just DNSSEC?
Yes, so absolutely. We are sort of We are not biased toward any type of DNS security. Pretty much one of the main countermeasures for domains is making sure that your DNS is secure. Sadly, though, you're right, a certificate authority could check DNS over TLS. But you have to remember that this is all backbone. So this is the authoritative DNS servers, not just the DNS clients at the end. Yes?
Hi, William Simpson. I'm sure this is fine work in some way, but you didn't get to securing routing until your very last bullet point, by which time I was already walking up here. And we've already known about this kind of problem and dealt with it for mail servers and DNS for 30 years because we started the Routing Arbiter Project, when the internet was commercialized, moving it from the NSFNet to, you know, the big I internet. You didn't actually run an autonomous system because you didn't actually set up your autonoms to register your sub-prefixes with the authorities, and so it'll only work in a test bed. What would have been more useful, from my point of view, is if you'd found that there were actual ASs out there that were not running the appropriate security and told us which ones they were so that we could de-peer with them. Because this will work in a test bed, and we've known it for a very, very, very long time. But it shouldn't work in the actual running internet.
So I think to begin by answering that question, it shouldn't, but it should. That it does, my bad.
No. Which autonomous systems does this happen with?
Okay.
So actual autonomous systems.
Yes, Vantiv, the website that I showed at the beginning, is an autonomous system, and their traffic was, their DNS servers were BGP hijacked. We see BGP hijacks. Okay, we did not address routing security as much in this project
right. Because
we took its insecurity as an assumption moving forward.
Yeah, that was a bad assumption. We've spent a lot of time securing it.
Then
for
why was
many, many years. Now, there are bad autonomous systems out there, but good autonomous systems won't accept their root
advertisements. A lot of these hijacks propagate very widely, and we have seen these hijacks, as I said, in recent months. We actually saw that My Ether wallet was a BGP hijack that affected Google DNS resolvers. So people using Google 8888 DNS, they hijacked Amazon's authoritative DNS servers and redirected them. So if you think that Google is not a secure enough autonomous system and that...
You mean Amazon.
Amazon. But yeah. Google is the one who accepted the fake routes for Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll talk to the right people at Google. I did not know about that particular attack.
Yeah.
We have a group that talks about these attacks all the time.
Yeah, we might have to take the questions offline for the rest of the questions since we're running out of time.